Welcome to the Guardians of Grace podcast. Relax. You have found the right place. We're here to serve. Join us, holding to pure grace. Again, relax. Join in with us. Listen on. Be blessed.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the Guardians of Grace podcast. My name's Bill, and I'm here with my good buddy, Grace Guard Dog Steve. And I'm a little under the clock. I got like 44 minutes to do a 43-minute podcast, or my wife's going to kill me. No, she won't kill me.
Isn't that the way we always roll? Just squeeze it in just as hard as between a rock and a hard place we put this podcast.
Yeah, and so, yeah, shout out to all the Grace Guard Dogs, the Men's Bible Study Group. They've been listening to the podcast. Our buddy Bob, who's memorizing every spiritual prayer in the Bible. This guy's on fire. And we also, we have a new sort of partner, right?
Yeah, Convict Radio.
What is it?
Convict Radio.
I think it's Conviction Radio. It's not a prison ministry, Steve.
Oh, they're not convicts. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Conviction Radio.
It's about being convicted, having your convictions.
By the law is really the only thing that says they convict you.
Right.
By the law in James.
Yeah. But I think they do a pun, a play on words. Conviction Radio.
Just getting to know them, but boy, they seem like really great people. And the founder has an amazing story. Talk about a turnaround in life.
Yes, amen. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. He's a classic example of what the Holy Spirit's done in millions and millions and millions of people. How he's just made him blossom. And this guy, you got to admit, and he's got a heart for God.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the courtesy he's shown to us and the help they've given us. And I mean,
welcoming.
They just tell us what we need to do, and we just go, I don't know how to do any of that.
They help us a lot. Yeah, We are so lucky that they invited us to be part of Conviction Radio, that they're actually giving us a slot of time. So we,
blessed.
With all humility and all gratitude that we can muster, we want to say as loudly as possible, thank you for letting us be a part of your ministry.
Yes,
we really appreciate it. And everybody turn to Conviction Radio. It's on the internet. Check it out.
It's up and coming, but I think it's going to be big.
Oh, man, it's going to be a mind blower. The things that they have planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to rock.
I was so worried after they met us that they were going to go.
Nope.
They took a liking to us for some reason. It's good.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for the people around the world who are listening to the podcast. For some reason, this month, it's just been sprinkled with countries that are listening to the podcast. Germany with so many downloads. And what is that one place? Tongo. This one place called Tongo in Africa. This guy, it gets downloaded every single week. Whoever is out there in Tongo, we salute you guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast and being faithful to listen to it. We appreciate you.
You're so excited, you're shaking the table.
Oh, sorry.
Might be making unnecessary noises. Let's see, we've been browsing through Galatians, and I think it would be helpful if you could summarize maybe the salient points. You can tell I got a dictionary today.
Yeah. Well, I think, Bill, what we should do is we've done some podcasts on Galatians, and your Bible study group is winding up the book of Galatians. So what we should do is just an overview. We probably don't need to review, but we'll just do an overview tonight of the book of Galatians. And it brings me to a question that I want to ask you, Bill, because I've got a thought on my mind. It'll almost be like you're reading my mind if you get this question right. But I want to ask you what you think the thesis statement of the book of Galatians is.
I would put it in two words, and then I would put it in two words that define those two words. So I would say law and grace, and then, which means, law means human effort, and grace means depending completely on the Spirit's power to do all the good things that people that live by law or human effort actually try to do. Do you know we really have the same goals in mind as a legalist?
Yes.
The difference isn't in the goal. The difference is in the means to reach that goal.
Yes. Yes. Okay. But my question to you is, what do you think the thesis statement of, that's kind of your thesis statement, but what do you think the thesis statement of Galatians is? What verse in Galatians do you think could be considered a thesis statement? Because I find the thesis statement in every single letter. The thesis statement of James, thesis statement of 1 John. I go in there and I find what I think is the thesis statement of the letter of Galatians is. And I know I'm hitting you with an off-the-wall question, but there's no right or wrong answer. Just whatever you think. What verse would you say is the thesis statement of Galatians?
Okay. I would say, I'm going to put it in one verse.
Good
deal. And
it's
chapter 6, verse 15. And it's kind of a summary, a little bit of background. He says, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, you got to keep the whole covenant. Remember when he said that?
Yes. Yes.
Then he says this: for neither as to circumcision, as to keeping the law or not keeping the law, the covenant of law. For neither circumcision, that word scares me so bad I can't even pronounce it. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts or matters is a new creation. And all who live according to this rule, peace and mercy be on them.
As God is my witness, Bill, that's exactly the verse that I think is the thesis statement for Galatians. That's exactly what he's saying.
It's like he's saying, you want a rule so bad.
Yeah.
Here's the rule.
Right. And all this stuff about circumcision and trying harder and everything through the whole letter, the whole letter, and we're going to do an overview of it, builds a case around that statement that Paul made. He could have made it at the very beginning. Neither circumcision or uncircumcision matters. All that stuff just doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is the new man, and the new man expressing himself through you. The new man manifesting. That's all that counts.
That's what counts.
That's what counts.
The new creation is what counts. And the other flesh is also ratting the streets and doing all kinds of horrible things. We'll say that. But really, the letter isn't about any of that.
You mean?
Living by the flesh is never pictured as...
You mean it's not licentiousness?
Someone else found the Bible dictionary, too.
Yeah, because really, literally, that's what I always thought it meant to live by the
flesh.
The flesh was to live a licentious lifestyle, which is no rules that govern sexuality. That's what
license
it means
to
be
sin.
A license to sin sexually.
A free pass.
A free pass to be just as immoral as you want. And that's what I thought it meant to live by the flesh. And it does.
It does, but it's not talked about in this letter because by and large, people only interested in doing that don't really read
the Bible anyway.
No, so.
That's right. But the rest of us who are reading the Bible many times walk in the flesh that Paul is talking about. Walking in your best behavior.
That's what walking by the flesh means. Let me give it to you the way Paul defined it. It's in Philippians 3, I believe, right?
I don't know. You're going to tell me.
Let me see if I got it still. He says, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh, so he's not talking about, well, let's just see what he says. Here's the flesh. If anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I have more. And he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Didn't he say if you allow yourself to be circumcised?
We're going to see in the book of Galatians that it's all about circumcision. He addresses that
the eighth issue. Day, eight is the day of new beginnings.
Yes.
Circumcised on the eighth day means I am fully committed to this old covenant. Fully committed to live by the law. So he says, this is putting confidence in the flesh. And he's saying, if anyone has reason, I'll destroy him with my testimony. So first thing he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. Not sure what that means.
It was good.
A good tribe.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No shame in being a Benjamite.
Right.
Circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrews of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Do you know what that takes to be a Pharisee? By age 12, you don't have to memorize a few verses. You have to memorize
books.
The first five books and go before some rabbis and answer questions.
Yes.
He did that.
Yes.
That's committed. And he says he did it in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Meaning what? He did it with his own determination. So he says, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh.
In human willpower.
Just listen to those three things there. I'm out. I'm like, you got
me. Beat me.
I'm out of that one.
Yeah.
Circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrews of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to legalistic righteousness. Outwardly keeping the law, he says, I was pretty good.
Blameless, faultless.
Faultless.
Faultless. Perfect.
But then he says this. I think there's some more, but that's the point. He was faultless as to outwardly keeping the law.
Right. If you want to talk about being confident in your own human capacity to live the Christian life, try and match up with Paul.
Yeah.
Because it's just like you said, he blew me away right off the bat.
Yeah, we were out on comparison one.
Yes.
He said, but whatever was to my credit, I consider it a loss compared to the all-surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things and consider them
scuba long.
Some say rubbish.
Horse.
That's what the word means.
Yes, yes, yes. But in view of the surpassing value you were talking about of
knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So
help
us out.
Experience.
What does knowing mean?
It means experiencing. In view of the surpassing value of experiencing Christ Jesus manifest himself through you, just outvalues everything that Paul said. The being legalistically righteousness, hey, that'll feel good. That would feel good to say, hey, I'm doing a good job at this Christian life.
It did feel
but
good.
It pales in comparison to the value of saying, I just experienced the God of the universe.
Which is what knowing Christ Jesus is Lord. Knowing is not... What are some of the famous knowings in the Bible? I think in Genesis 3, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Adam knew Eve, and they produced a child.
They produced a child.
Sarah knew Abraham, and they produced a child. That's the way the word knowing was used. It was an experiencing.
Abraham slept with Hagar. It doesn't say no. They weren't experiencing in an intimate relationship. So it's,
wow, that's a good point.
It's
never
not just
of that.
Yeah,
but isn't that Paul saying? I counted all that good stuff I did as rubbish compared to experiencing Christ. Isn't that the same as your thesis statement in Galatians, where it says neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value at all? The only thing that has value is the new creation, the new man,
is the one that knows Christ.
It's
the one that experiences the spirits.
Yes.
Life.
Yep, the new creation manifesting itself through you. That's the only thing that Paul said counts in Galatians. That's why, as we're going to see as we cruise through the book of Galatians, we're going to see that was what he was pounding and hounding about.
So what he means by, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have far more. And what Paul says in Galatians about experiencing Christ, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything, but the new creation is you in the Spirit, born again, experiencing the Spirit of Christ. You're in union with Christ. You're abiding with Christ. If you're an Old Testament, you're kavahing. So we see the whole letter of Galatians is not talking to yahoos that are just living reckless lives. Yet he calls them foolish.
They're almost as dedicated as he was. They're at a level of the Pharisees. They're trying their hardest, just like you and I. Remember how hard we tried to live the Christian life, man. We put it. We put ourselves to the test, that's for sure.
We did every new thing that
new book, came new our way. Project, new formula.
Man, did I do books.
Yeah, yeah.
30-day experiment books.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got to day 5.
I never read any of them. I bought them and never read them.
You gave up before you...
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't even get past the attention span part of reading a book to try and do what it says in it. Okay, but here's what we're going to do, Bill. I'm going to start off at the beginning of Galatians, and I will read to you certain verses and just kind of unpack them for us, because we'll see that it comes out to all support that thesis statement. Okay, Bill, here's the first one in Galatians 1. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not a gospel at all. But some are disturbing you, and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached already to you, let him be accursed. I've said it before and I'm saying it again. If any man is preaching to you a gospel that you haven't already received, let him be accursed.
Okay.
Tell us what he's talking about, Bill.
Let's give Paul's definition of cursed. He says in Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do all things written in the book of the law.
That's later on in this very same letter. He says this.
So if you don't do all things written in the book of the law, you're under a curse. And what did he say there? If anyone
preaches a different gospel, let him be under that curse.
A different gospel is someone that's bringing back parts of the law. Any type of human effort whatsoever, anything that is placed on you and your own flesh or your own human effort, let's define it as human effort, the flesh means the same thing. Anything that depends on you trying hard in your own strength, he said, I would rather them just be cursed from the start. Not that he cares about them, but he's saying, if anyone adds a little bit of human effort to the gospel, it curses the whole gospel. I wish I could say that better, but what do you think? What's your take on that?
I'm with you. I think he's saying, if I taught you that there's really nothing else that counts but the Spirit manifesting itself through you, everything else you can think of is just rubbish. Your life here is to be a vessel that God manifests himself through. It's what you're supposed to be addicted to and praying for constantly. You want to be the vessel that God uses to manifest himself through. And that is more valuable. Him manifesting himself through you is more valuable than anything you could ever want to pray for. So don't let anybody distort what we've taught you. That's what Paul said. I teach a way of life in Christ Jesus everywhere in every church. So he taught the Galatians a way of life in Christ Jesus, not in human effort, but in Christ Jesus by the power of him. Abide in me and I abide in you, Jesus said. I'm the vine, you are the branches.
He had no patience for people bringing in rules and laws. That's why he said, let him be accursed, because it's a hindrance. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And what did he say? I want to know. I want to know Christ. Experiencing guilt and condemnation is what it means that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Another word for experiencing the knowledge of sin is death. Sin sprang to life and I died. It's that feeling of
a wretched man
that I am. That's why he said, let anyone that brings in a different gospel is good news. If you introduce some rules, the good news becomes bad news because you won't keep it and you'll feel condemned. And he would rather just make it known that you're not welcome to the churches that I go to, talking about my way of life in Christ that I teach every place and everywhere in every place. My way of life in Christ is devoid of rules, devoid of human effort. It's a way of life in Christ, not a way of life in my dedication, commitment, and human effort. That's why he said it's another gospel. It's cursed.
Okay, Bill, as we go on through the book of Galatians, Paul talks about how he received his information about this gospel, not from men, but he received it out in the desert from Christ himself. And he comes back and Peter meets him in Antioch, and he talks about how he actually opposed Peter to his face. And he was opposing Peter because Peter was fudging on the gospel. He had gone back and started telling the people to act, well, a little bit like the Jewish people that were with him and were, what would be the word I would want, were putting peer pressure on him. He was bowing to the peer pressure, and Paul opposed him to his face and said, stop bowing to the peer pressure of the legalists. And what did he say to them next? Because I know that you know this actually by heart.
Well, Paul was telling Peter, you're a Jew. You lived under the law, and you knew you couldn't keep it. And you had a vision, and God told you in this vision to eat bacon and all kinds of things that were forbidden for Jews to eat under the law. And it told you to kill and eat. And he said, Peter, never call anything unclean that I have called clean. So Peter has withdrawn fellowship from Gentiles because he's hanging around these Judaizers, these rule givers, rule adders onto. And one of their biggest rules was, you can't hang out with the Gentiles. They're unclean. His vision told him, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. The Judaizers were saying, call these Gentiles unclean.
And the way they were perverting the gospel, Peter says, actually his own sidekick was getting, his own sidekick Barnabas was falling for it.
Yeah, and they were becoming quite the detractors and the isolationists.
Yeah.
And they weren't showing the Gentiles in Galatia any love.
No.
So Paul says to Peter, Peter, you're a Jew, I'm a Jew. We who are Jews by birth, who had to keep the law, were circumcised and into the law and had to keep it along with the dietary laws. Certain birds, I know pigs were forbidden, no bacon. He says, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by the works of the law or declared righteous by keeping the law. Paul made that clear in Romans. He says, no one is declared righteous by keeping the law.
By human righteousness.
So he's saying, Peter, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by keeping the law, the works of the law, but by the faithfulness, it's literally the faithfulness of Christ. So we have turned from trying to keep the law to the faith of Christ so that we might be justified by the faithfulness of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Then he says,
Actually says, no flesh will be justified. The flesh part of us, the human
no
nature
part of us, it's trying really hard. Remember, this is good flesh here.
You remember, we're talking to people that know about flesh and spirit, that Christ is in the spirit, and the sin guy is in the human nature.
So he's saying, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that something the Gentiles don't know, and you're persuading them. They never had the law, and they did not know the futility of the law. So they were just like the Jews back when the law was given on Sinai. Remember what the Jews said? We will keep it. Far be it from us to not keep the law.
And Joshua said, you can't. He's too holy.
You can't keep it.
Can't keep it. And they learned that they can't keep it.
And isn't that what Paul is saying?
Yes.
We know that a man can't keep the law.
Yes. Cannot be justified by works of the law.
And then he says, for if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove basically that I can't keep it.
Yeah.
I prove myself to be a sinner.
He literally says, by seeking to be justified as a Christian, by seeking to be justified in Christ, I begin to sin. Does that make Christ the author of sin? No way. If I rebuild what I once destroyed, if I rebuild that Ten Commandment mentality, I'll prove myself to be a sinner all over again.
And what's the definition of sin? It's not what we've made it.
No.
It simply means to miss the mark. It can be close to the mark, but it misses the mark. Human effort misses the mark. The law is the mark. The Ten Commandments are the mark. And as far as the law, Jesus said, to not miss the mark, be ye perfect. How perfect? As your Father in heaven. That's the mark. So let's go back to what did Peter rebuild that he had once destroyed? Was it going back fishing?
No. Was it going back to the bars? No. It was going back to maybe some dietary rules because they weren't eating. They weren't eating with the Gentiles because the Gentiles weren't eating according to some rule.
And they didn't fellowship with them.
They didn't.
They excluded them.
Right.
Very nice.
Right. And in doing that, excluding them from not eating the proper way, they rebuilt the Ten Commandment mentality, the law system.
And what happens when I rebuild that Ten Commandment mentality? I prove myself that I could never live up to the Ten Commandment mentality. So you're already proven something that you've already proved. Why try it again?
Then, right, because you'll disprove it again.
How many times
do you have to beat yourself up?
Yeah. So if I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor, someone who can't keep it.
Yeah.
For through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. So now this was always a tough one to me. For through the law,
he's giving some rev. Here, he's doing a don't you know.
He's doing a Romans 7.
Yes.
Which is 7:4 or 7:5. Do you not know that the law has authority over a person only as long as they're alive?
Mm-hmm. I'm crucified with Christ.
Which is his next verse.
Yes.
I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. If the law has authority over a person only as long as they live, didn't he just say, I no longer live?
Yes.
So is he under any obligation to keep the law? Yes. See, I didn't know that.
No.
I thought the law had authority over everyone.
Yes. And he's mentioning an eternal truth. I no longer live in God's eyes.
I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. He who has died has been acquitted from all sin. Through the law, I died to the law so that I can live for God. You cannot live for God being double covenanted. double-minded means the same thing. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways.
A man who vacillates between law and grace is unstable.
Boy, is he unstable.
Yes.
I know that unstableness.
Yeah, I was a basket case too.
Never knew what to do. Remember, this is going back to right when they're just coming out of the law and going into grace. The temple is still standing. There's still Levitical priests. They're still offering sacrifices. Your friends didn't see you Saturday at the synagogue, did they? That's uncomfortable. We'll give them that. We don't even have those hang-ups. I don't know why we go back to the law. I do. I know why. Because we don't trust the grace of God. We don't trust Christ plus nothing. We trust Christ plus a few boundaries and parameters. Christ plus an accountability partner. Christ plus
a few fine-sounding arguments.
A few fine-sounding arguments. Then there were these, some laws were just unshakable, unbreakables. Great, it rhymes.
Mm-hmm. These have to be your unshakable, unbreakables.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
They rhyme.
The cliche that caught me.
It counts for nothing, yeah.
It counted for a lot for me for a couple of years there. The unshakable, unbreakables had a chained hold on me for a while.
That's what he's saying. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, it's literally I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. Faithfulness.
Living through me. Him faithfully living through me. That's what I depend on, Paul is saying.
He depends on something that is faithful. Let me say it better. He depends on someone who is faithful. Christ was faithful in all the law. He kept it. He still keeps all the righteous requirements of the law through his Spirit. When you depend on the Spirit, you're living by grace. And that's what the whole emphasis of the letter to the Galatians is on.
Okay, Bill, so now read verses, say 20 and 21.
Of 2. Yeah, it's kind of a summary.
I don't mean read, just quote.
So 220 is a famous one. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm free from the law, right? But Christ lives in me, the one who can keep the law. The life I live in this body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. We believe it's faithfulness because it's a dative case, which means...
Exactly.
It's possessed the faith... belongs to Christ.
The Greek grammar proves it's faithfulness of
Christ,
Son of God. Yeah.
The life I live in the body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then 21 is, can I read it in the King James?
Sure.
It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness could be obtained by the law, Christ died in vain. That's why he said, let him be accursed if he wants to try and live a righteous life without the faithfulness of Christ. I like that word frustrate, because that's a good word.
We're frustrating grace. When we're trying to do it ourselves, we are frustrating grace.
Is it frustrating or what?
Yes.
It leads to depression. Most mental institutes are filled with legalistic Christians?
Exactly. It's legalism that puts most Christians in a need for a psychiatric hospital.
I've never been to one, but I've heard that to be true from quite a few sources, that most people in mental institute are suffering from some sort of legalism, thinking they never measure up.
Bill, and may I ask why you made that declaration that you've never been in one? Did I get you? I got it. No. Okay. chapter 3. We're starting in chapter 3. And tell me this doesn't line up with the thesis statement, or tell me this isn't designed to protect the thesis statement that nothing counts. Nothing but the new creation counts. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish after having begun your Christian walk in the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain the goal by your human effort?" And I just want to take a break here because this is the very phrase that I use to define what it means to be in the flesh, in your human effort, or in the Spirit's power, because he says, "Are you so foolish after having begun with the Spirit," meaning begun by using the Spirit's power, being in the Spirit and not in your own human effort, "are you now going to try and attain the goal by," the NAS Bible says, "by the flesh," which is defining the word literally. The NIV uses it by the image that it produces, and he says, "through human effort." See, the NIV wants you to know what "by the flesh" means, or "in the flesh" means. It means in your human effort. Both translations have it right, but comparing both translations gives you the bird's eye look at this picture about flesh and spirit that the Bible wants you to see. Do not use human effort. Do not work out your goal in human effort, but work out your goal in the Spirit's power.
So, yeah, a couple things. The word "foolish" there is not the same word Jesus said, "If anyone calls his brother a fool, that's raka." This "foolish" is literally, is a better way to say it is unthinking. He's like, "Think, McFly."
Yeah.
Are you so foolish? Are you not thinking this through? If you begin by trusting the Spirit, why? Because you trusted the Spirit because you were convinced you couldn't live the Christian life in your own human effort. So you began with that thought: I can't live the Christian life in my human effort. I'm going to depend on the Spirit. Are you now persuaded by these Judaizers to go back to human effort, to go back to the law, to go back to a performance-based gospel? Okay, I want to get this, because we've been going back and forth about, is it our faith or the faithfulness of Christ? And the Genesis portrayal of what happened when the covenant was made gives us insight into, was it Abraham's faith or was it the faithfulness of God? And the answer is both. It says in Genesis, Abraham, and it says, repeats it in Galatians, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Then Abraham says, how will I know this will happen? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like faith. But this is what God... So we saw the faith of Abraham. He believed God. We'll take him at his word. He believed God would do this. Then he said, how will I know this will happen? And that's us. We say, live your life by depending on the Spirit. Believe that, Steve. Do you believe that? Do you can live the Christian life? Okay. How will you know? Is it okay to say that? it kind of is. How will I know this is going to happen? So we saw Abraham believe God, and it sounds like he's doubting, but he's not really doubting. He wants to be sure. It's a lot to believe that he's going to be his seed is going to be a blessing.
Mary kind of said the same thing. How are you going to do this since I'm a virgin?
Yeah, and that is not faithlessness.
It's just asking how.
Yeah. It's saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this. So God, it says in Hebrews 6, wanting to show Abraham the purpose of what he was doing and the absolute faithfulness of what he was going to do, it says he interposed with an oath so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we can have great encouragement. So Abraham believed God. Then he said, how will I know? That sounds like unbelief. And God says, this is how you will know. And he cut a covenant right after that. Abraham was asleep, but he was sort of aware of the covenant. And the covenant was cut not between Abraham and God. It was cut between father and the son. And they walked through the pieces. They cut the covenant. And that's how he will know, because God swore it with an oath and made a covenant. You will be declared righteous because I am righteous. Remember, righteous is the term you use when you keep the covenant. God made a covenant with his son. The father and son made a covenant in Genesis 15, and they keep it, and they are declared righteous. And you are credit, Abraham, are credited with that righteousness. And we are credited with the righteousness of Christ, right? What happens when we doubt? We have an oath to go back to. The same oath that applied to Abraham applies to us. So that we now, when we want to doubt, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we can be greatly encouraged. This covenant was based on a relationship with the Father and the Son, not really having anything to do with us, but we're all credited with keeping the covenant because Christ in us is the one that kept the covenant. And then later came the law, 430 years later. So he asks there, and we'll probably have to end there, does the fact that they were not righteous because they could not keep the covenant, does that nullify the first covenant?
I think we're going to answer that question next week. So stay tuned because we've run out of time for today.
I think they know the answer, but...
Yep. Wait till next week and you'll hear it.
It takes some time to explain it.
Yeah. So... with that in mind, let's pray. Father God, thank you for everything that you're doing for us and for allowing us to have this podcast and for it to be on Conviction Radio. It's such a blessing to us, but help us grasp what the book of Galatians was about when it told us that we were foolish to try and attain the goal of the Christian life in our human effort, Lord. Allow us it to sink in what you meant when you said, don't be naive. You can't attain the Christian life in your own determination, in your own willpower, in your own abilities. You can't do it. So use the Spirit's power. That's what I want you to cause them to realize. Father, it's just one simple thought. It's the thesis statement of Galatians. Circumcision or uncircumcision means nothing. Only the new creation, only the new man doing for us what we can't do for ourselves is what I want you to implant into the heart of everybody listening to this podcast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, audience. We love you guys.
We love you guys. Thank you.